This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. The week is almost over. We're going to deal with a bit of this port strike stuff, the political angle around it, what's happening in Florida, the dangers for every side. It's beyond the dangers for you and me. It's a dangerous situation for all parties involved. And in fact, we're going to open up the show talking about that. Well, open up the hour talking about that. We'll go into Tim Walz. The Harris campaign's unhappy with him and all his lies because they're making them look bad. It's causing a burden for the campaign. We'll discuss how could they miss it? How could they not know these things were coming? We'll discuss that this hour. We'll get to emails. We'll get to many other things. But I want to begin with just what I was talking to you about. The East Coast and Gulf Coast port strike. We've talked about it a lot. You are going to see very shortly, if you haven't already, prices go up and you're going to see supplies disappear. Here's one you haven't thought of before, and I didn't think of it either, so I don't want to act like, well, I knew and you didn't. My wife had a doctor's appointment this morning. She's fine. It was just a random checkup. But she was talking with the doctor, found out from the doctor there's no more saline coming in for them. Saline is imported. The limited amount of saline we have, it has to go to the emergency rooms. It has to be reserved for emergency purposes only. That it was way more than just saline. Saline was one example. The doctor went into more things. I won't go into all of them now, but medical supplies not coming in. It's going to be a problem for everybody. Prices, lack of things. And so let's deal with the political fallout of it. Well, this is a very interesting situation. And again, I want to say it is a complicated situation. We love to simplify things. It's our nature. It's my nature. It's your nature. We want to know, who am I rooting for? Who am I rooting against? When I watch a sports game of any kind, if none of my teams are involved, I try to find a story I like, a byline I like. Why? It gives me a rooting interest. I'm not a gambler. I'm just not big on it. It drives me crazy to lose money. I don't want to sound like Chris, but it does. It drives me crazy. But I've had occasions before I've put $5 on a game. Why? Well, I'm invested. Who am I rooting for? Who am I rooting against? Give me a good guy. Give me a bad guy. So we love to do that with everything. We do it with the Civil War. The Civil War is a great example. An incredibly complicated affair. Angels and demons on both sides, all over the place. American people, especially if you were educated anywhere other than the South. North good, South bad. If you were educated in the South, especially one of the more rural areas, it's the War of Northern Aggression. Those dirty Yankees invaded. North bad, South good. It's not that simple. It's complicated. Everything's complicated. Part of the reason most people don't know about the Eastern Front in World War II, Nazis versus the Soviets, is it's impossible to pick a side to root for. They're both so freaking evil and horrible that people just stop talking about it. We want to do this with the port strike. These guys are good and these guys are bad. The ports are good, strikers are bad. The workers are good, the ports are bad. It's not that simple. Very, very complicated affair. And it's a complicated affair politically for Democrats. Here's a headline from CNBC. The East and Gulf Coast port strike could be a no-win situation for the Biden administration. You see, Joe Biden, and more specifically, we'll make this about Harris because she's the one running. Inflation is her enemy. If the American people, as we talked about in the opening of the show, we were on a different subject, but if the American people walk into the voting booth in November and now, but in November, thinking about inflation, Kamala Harris is going to lose this election. She is. It can't be about inflation. It can't be about prices, because that's really what we're talking about when it comes to inflation. The longer the port strike goes on, the more prices go up. So Democrats need it to end. But Democrats need something else. They need the union vote. Not the endorsement of the unions. These large unions, the Teamsters and longshoremen and things like that, they're always going to go the way of the Democrats. I know the Teamsters have kind of sat out the election this year, but they're always going to, the leadership's going to go Democrat. But that does not always apply to the guys with the hard hats on at all. Did you hear this one? This is a Fox Business little show of hands thing.
How many folks support Vice President Harris? Any hands? No hands.
Wow.
Okay.
That was a room full of port strikers. Those were the strikers. These are not Democrats. Some maybe, but for the most part, they're not Democrats. Democrats need that union vote. Every vote counts. They also need prices to go down. They need the American people to be more content than they are about the state of things, the economy, and prices. So they need the strike to end. But they can't have the strike end if the strike ends with anything other than a win for the poll workers. This is from that same CNBC article. Quote, President Joe Biden could pause the strike for 80 days under the Taft-Hartley Act, but he has indicated he has no intention of doing so. I won't go into the details of the act. It's not important. What you need to know is the President of the United States of America, it got signed into law. It's a law in this country. If there's some kind of terrible strike that could have a big effect on the American people, the president can essentially force everyone back to work to give them time to work out a deal. Oh, no, you didn't get a deal. Everything's shut down. America's suffering. No, you go back to work. We get another 80, 90 days and work it. That's the Taft-Hartley Act. Joe Biden could do that. And he could do it because it would get him through the election cycle without any of this economic dislocation. But he's being pulled two different directions. If he does that, go ahead and go to the union. You want those votes. You need those votes. Go to all those guys and tell them, I, Joe Biden, Democrat, am forcing you, get back to work. How do you think that's going to land? Not well. Again, it's complicated. But it's not only complicated for Democrats. It's complicated politically for Republicans as well. I know people have simplified things because the head of the union is an idiot and a blowhard and a moron, and he ran to the cameras bragging about how powerful he was and that they were going to cripple the country. So he poisoned the well against the workers. But he's not the workers. He may be the president. He may be the mouthpiece. Did you know they didn't even want him? I had one of those guys reach out to me. I've had a bunch of them reach out to me. One of those guys said, we wanted his son. He said his son apparently is much more delicate with things that need to be delicate. Chris, if you have him, if you have the dagger guy, that's fine. But his son is a lot more delicate, a lot more political. Dad gives you this.
In today's world, I'll cripple you. I will cripple you.
That's all the American people needed to hear to have the well poisoned against the workers. But as I've explained, you don't need to be poisoned against the workers. I'm not telling you to take a side, but that moron, he's not all the workers. Again, it's complicated. So if you are a Republican, how do you handle it? What do you want? Well, I would hope first and foremost, you want the American people not to suffer. Should always be about America in the end if you're running to represent or serve America. I would hope that's what you want. I would also hope you want the workers to get a fair deal. I don't expect Republicans to be pro-union. I like union dudes. I don't like unions really that much. I understand them, but union workers, I guess it's because I'm a construction guy. Those have always been people I hang out with. They've always been my friends. They're all blue-collar Republican types. They are. They talk like me. They like what I like. I like them. I want them to get a fair shake. I do. If it's time for a raise, I want them to get a raise. The ports, too. I don't want them to have to give up every dime of profit in order to pay the workers. Because if they give up every dime of profit to pay the workers, well, they're simply going to hand those costs over to you and me. My son is 16 years old. He's about to get a driver's license. We've already started sniffing around for used cars for him and already stunned by what cars cost. I know it makes me sound like old fogey Jesse. We were looking at used vehicles. We're talking basic sedans. I would never get my son something nice. If he wants something nice, he can go get a job and pay for it himself. I'm talking basic sedans with seatbelts and airbags, nothing fancy. $30,000. $25,000, $30,000. Well, if that goes to 40 because of a longshoreman deal, that's not ideal, right? So again, it's complicated. And then you have the complication of how much can you press, how much can you back into a corner people with power? From the port strikers' perspective, let's have a little talk about that. Before we do that, let's talk about this. Pain. It sucks your soul away. It just does. I used to go through this so much, especially when I was a kid. I don't know if I ever told you this. I grew too fast. I'm 6'8", but I was always so tall, and I was just long. I just kept growing and growing, and my back was a mess because of it. It's fine now that I've grown up and learned to keep it strong, and I'm done growing, obviously. Closer to shrinking than growing, but I'm done growing. But I lived with that daily pain, the daily, that daily just, ugh. And I didn't know about Relief Factor. Relief Factor is the natural way to deal with it. 100% drug-free. Don't mask it. Don't ignore it. Don't moan and groan and snap at your loved ones. Try Relief Factor for 3 weeks. You take it every day. Your body's natural response to inflammation will thank you for it. Three-week kit, $19.95. 1-800-4-RELIEF or go to relieffactor.com. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday, reminding you that tomorrow is an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, and you need to get your questions emailed in right now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com or call, leave a voicemail. No one's going to answer. 877-377-4373. Back to this port strike thing. It's dicey and it's complicated, and here's a problem, and it's going to be a big problem for the port strikers. I'm not sure how they get out of it now, but it's going to be a big problem. So here's what it is. You know how we talk about the system and how violent the system is? Because the system, its goal, its only goal is protecting itself. Once your government and your institutions become poisoned and corrupt, systems become criminal organizations. That's our government. That's our system of power now. It's a criminal organization. And like the mafia, criminal organizations will murder you to protect themselves. That's just what they do. Our government is no different. Why do you think Donald Trump's almost had his head blown off 2 times? Why do you think that is? Why do you think the Secret Service seems to keep doing whoopsies? Why do you think they're looking into the first shooter and they're stonewalling United States senators? United States senators trying to get information and the DOJ won't release it. Here's one. Speaking of which, here's one. Prosecutors seek indefinite delay in Trump assassination attempt trial. You see the guy who tried to murder Donald Trump on the golf course? They're trying to delay the trial as long as humanly possible. Why? Because things come out during the trial. This is the guy who was in Ukraine recruiting mercenaries to fight on behalf of Ukraine. Remember that? Yeah, he's about to go on trial. What kind of things do you think are going to come out in discovery of that trial if this gentleman actually lives to be on trial, which I highly doubt? Chris, go ahead and write that one down. But if he does happen to get lucky and live until trial, what kind of things do you think are going to come out? Yeah, the system murders. Well, here's the problem for the port strikers. Set aside your anger or prices or any of that other stuff. Set aside all that and set aside your anger at that Goomba loser who leads the union. I'm talking about for the dudes, the people, the men and women on the ground who actually matter, the blue-collar workers. Their problem is, it's not a strike that's shutting down a factory. a factory here, a factory there. It's a strike that will be felt at the highest levels of power. The highest levels of power. I was talking to somebody about this strike specifically, and he wasn't a guy who was emotionally invested in it. He just knew a lot of the players, and we were discussing the various complications of it. And he said, well, there is a big problem potentially for the strikers. And I said, what is that? He said, well, there's only so many powerful people you can cost a lot of money to before ugly things start happening. What kind of ugly things? I'm not talking about murders, although obviously I don't know. That the system's certainly willing to murder, but if you challenge enough powerful people and make their lives miserable, they can make your life miserable back. It's easy to get cocky and think, we're all the workers. We run things. Well, Chris, play Ron DeSantis in Florida. Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida came out in the wake of Hurricane Helene hammering Florida. It's a little long. It's 2 minutes. Listen to what he says here.
At my direction, the Florida National Guard and Florida State Guard will be deployed to critical ports affected to maintain order and, if possible, resume operations, which would otherwise be shut down during this interruption. Florida Department of Transportation is coordinating calls with seaport, rail, and trucking partners to ensure that all are prepared and positioned appropriately to limit disruptions to the supply chain and other areas should this continue. I'm also directing Florida Department of Transportation to temporarily waive the collection of tolls and other fees for commercial vehicles using public highways in Florida and waiving the size and weight restrictions normally governing vehicle transportation for the duration of this emergency. This will help expedite the movement of goods that have been impacted from seaports to intermodal logistics centers, distribution centers, and delivery points, and very well may help offset additional costs incurred by operation during this period. Finally, I'm directing the Florida Highway Patrol to manage the flow of traffic from all Florida seaports and adjacent roads and highways as needed to further expedite the flow of goods that are currently being held up. This will include the provision of law enforcement escorts for commercial motor vehicles by FHP officers upon request. And I would say that this is something that would have significant impacts on the nation's economy anyways, but to have this happen in a way that could negatively impact people that are reeling from a Category 4 hurricane, that is just simply unacceptable. So it really is incumbent
It's one state. It's not resuming all operations. The Florida National Guard isn't even able to do all the things these port guys are doing, but it's just one example of be careful if you ever find yourself in a situation where you feel like you have all the power and all the leverage, because sometimes you find out you might not. All right, let's talk about the second gentleman, if you will, and his pimp hand. Hang on.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA! USA!
The Jesse USA! Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday, an amazing Thursday. And I am going to get to emails in a few moments because I'm a bit behind on those. But I wanted to get to this. So Doug Emhoff, that's how you say his name, Chris. Chris thinks it's Imhoff. It's Emhoff. It's E-M. I don't care how whatever. Doug Emhoff, the second gentleman. He's been, that's just so funny. I can't get over that. The second gentleman, that in and of itself is so effeminate, but he's been getting a lot of pub lately, a lot of public pub. And he's been doing this thing, this I'm the male feminist, hear me roar thing. Now, pause on that for a minute. Put that in your back pocket. Remember what we talked about when we were discussing Mark Cuban and how pro-Kamala he's been. Remember that when we did that? Well, in case you don't remember, just stay with me for a second. There are all kinds of powerful people who vote Democrat or at least admit publicly they're going to vote Democrat. You go to this CEO or this actor or this professional athlete, you stuff a camera in their face. Who are you voting for? In this culture, they instinctively think they have to say Democrat. So they'll say, oh, Kamala Harris. So that's one level of voting Democrat. But then there are people like Mark Cuban, where it's so over the top, it's kind of weird and gross. Every day it's, oh, Kamala Harris, so smart, I love her. Every day it's stuff like this where he could have just said, I'm voting for her, but he's running to the news to do this stuff.
I think what a lot of business people don't get, I look at the Harris campaign as a company, and Kamala is the CEO, right? She's had, 45 days, 60 days to build an entire organization. And you look at the results, she went from negative favorability ratings, she went from recognition being relatively low, she went from being way behind in every single poll you looked at, and now look where she's at. Worst case, she's tied. In many cases, she's ahead.
We got it. That's Mark Cuban on TV with his San Francisco lesbian haircut every 15 minutes, getting on his knees and kissing Kamala Harris's rear end. It's over the top, and it's weird. Remember what we said when we were talking about that? When it's that over the top, when it's that weird, it's always for one of two reasons. He has a vested financial interest he needs their help with, or they have dirt on him and he's being blackmailed. It's always one of those two reasons. When it's too over the top, there's a reason for it. Now, male feminists, I'm certainly not one, but male feminists, I love women. Women are our strength, these losers. The guys who take it that far, almost always, there's something darker there. There's something in their past they're overcompensating for one reason or another. Remember when the second gentleman, remember when he said this?
Has being second gentleman changed your own view of perceived gender roles or what it means to be a man?
This is something I've thought about a lot and something I've spoken about a lot. There's too much of toxicity. It's masculine toxicity out there, and we've kind of confused what it means to be a man, what it means to be masculine, where you've got this trope out there that you've got to be tough and, you know, angry and lash out to be strong. It's just the opposite. You know, strength is how you show your love for people. Strength is how you are for people and how you have their back and how you stick up for other people and pushing out against bullies. I mean, that's what I believe it is. So every time I can speak against this toxicity, we're seeing it with our younger people. We're seeing it in our discourse and our politics, in the media. You're seeing it as it relates to so many of the issues that we're pushing back on. So I think it's a problem, and I'm going to continue to use this platform every time I get to speak out against this toxic masculinity that's out there.
Wow. What a champion of women. He's not like those toxic male types. He's a champion of women. And look, they've been doing it the whole time.
The interesting part of how people have talked about your role here is how your role has reshaped the perception of masculinity. And I'm not sure you planned on that, but you are an incredibly supportive spouse. Has that been an evolution for you? And do you think that's part of the role you might play as first gentleman?
It's funny, I've started to think a lot about this. I've always been like this. My dad was like this.
What a feminist. He's going to stand against that meanie McMean face, toxic masculinity. Yeah, except he beat up his girlfriend. Came out in the New York Post today. Apparently his girlfriend got a little too flirty with another guy, and old Doug Emhoff just rear-backed and popped her one. Wow. What a feminist, huh? That is interesting. And also, you would think a guy who married Kamala Harris would be understanding if she's been around the block once or twice, but either way, slaps his girlfriend around. Oh, and then there's this tidbit. What a feminist. What a champion of women. Doug Emhoff, this is from Red State, told former girlfriend he'd paid $80,000 in hush money to a nanny he impregnated, and he made her sign an NDA. He knocked up his kid's tutor, got a divorce for it, paid her 80 G's, and made her sign an NDA to not tell anyone that kid's his. And that's why he spends a lot of time on the news talking about what a champion of women he is. Ladies, gentlemen, you anti-communists who are listening, and even you dirty commies who hate listen all the time, allow me to tell you one thing that is true about 99.99% of the time. If there is a male feminist who gets a little too loud about what a male feminist he is, that is a male feminist who's done some dark things to women in his past. That is true almost every time. Just like the Mark Cubans of the world, who get a little too, I love Democrats, have something dark in there for some reason. Same thing with male feminists. That's how that works. And that's why you need a male vitality stack from Chalk, because you don't want to slap your girlfriend. You want to slap the weight room. You want to have energy. You want to feel good. If your girlfriend flirts with another guy, you want to sweep her off her feet and plant a big kiss on her and remind her that you're the big guy on the block in the right way. T-levels are low, gentlemen. It's time to get your T-levels back up. Male Vitality Stack from Chalk is natural herbal supplements. And right now it's Chalktober, baby. So massive discount on everything. If you've been waiting, don't wait anymore. CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse. Get a subscription and take part in Chalktober so you never hit your girlfriend or knock up your nanny. Jesse, you spoke about someone who didn't enjoy listening to your voice. Why didn't he just switch the station? Love your radio show. Enjoy your voice. Keep up the excellent work. I've told you this before. I don't understand this, but I think actually my wife is helping me understand this a little bit. People who hate the show listen for longer and listen more intently than people who love the show. My mentor, Michael Berry, told me this when I was starting out 6 years ago, because I had no history in media whatsoever. I didn't believe him. It didn't make sense to me. There's no way. That's not how it is. In 6 years of emails, complaints to corporate, which flood in by the day, and everything else, it has been signed, sealed, and delivered. People who hate me will listen longer and more intently than people who love it. Chris said, why? I said, my wife is helping me understand this. I don't like medical massacres and surgery things. I have a friend. He got in this terrible bike wreck and split his head open. It was the worst thing you've ever seen in your life. And he texted me. I've seen all the blood and guts in real life. You know, it's not like I'm squeamish, but he texted me. He said, you want to see pictures? I said, no, I'm good. Thanks. Aubrey found out. She said, oh, please get the pictures. I want to see them. And I said, what is wrong with you? Were you some kind of sicko? Said, no, that stuff is fascinating. And it's so terrible. I want to see it. There's something with some people psychologically. If they hate something or dislike something, they will wrap their arms around it and embrace it and never let it go. I'm not that way, so I don't get it. But that's a fact. All right. We'll do some more of these emails. More gun control. I can't wait to get to the Tim Walz stuff and more. Hang on.
Jesse Kelly. Back soon.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Wishing everybody a very merry...
Buenas tardes.
From our family to yours. And I will get back to the emails in a second. I do want to remind you...
I love you back.
Don't shake your head, Chris. All right, we have to get to emails. And remember, tomorrow's Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Get your questions emailed in now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com or a voicemail, 877-377-4373. Jesse, thanks for exposing the malfeasance of the, quote, Catholic groups promoting the invasion of our country. My church has been infiltrated, and I'm sorry. Personally, I attend the SSPX whenever I can. Look, it's not, this goes beyond Catholics. A lot of you Catholics are hard on the Catholic Church or Catholic NGOs. And it's bad. Don't get me wrong when Catholic NGOs do this, but this, it goes beyond Catholics. It's in the Protestant area just as bad. The Jesus worshiping side of America has a division in it, and an important one. There are half of them who believe what is right and what is good, and there are half of them who have been infected and invaded and co-opted by the dirty commies, and they've had the word of God manipulated to the point they'll get up in front of their congregation and say, Jesus would want you to have 10 Haitians move in next to you and rape your daughter. And people think that's somehow godly or something else, and it's gross. It's really, really, really bad. And the problem happens is people don't, you know how most people aren't invested in politics the way you are or government the way you are? You ever have political conversations with people and you're just shocked at how little they know? Happens to me all the time. I know it happens to you all the time. The same thing actually applies to churches and church leadership. I'll set Catholicism aside for a moment because I'm not a Catholic, but you ever heard of the Southern Baptist Convention, the SBC? Go look them up. Is your church under that umbrella? If it is, I'm not saying it's bad. I'm not, but you might have a big, big, big problem. SBC is enormous. It's also putrid. It's you might as well call it the James Langford Church. It's just weak and pathetic and does more to harm us than helps us. But people don't get involved in their church government either, church leadership either. And look, Chris, this applies to you people too. So don't think Jews are separated from this. I'm assuming you have some sort of thing where they talk about the finances of the synagogue, right? They do, right? Yeah, of course they do. They do the same thing in churches. In church, they'll have, and your church better do this. In churches, they'll have either a night or they'll do it on a Sunday or whatever, where they will talk about the finances of the church. You know, it's not just tithe money and then you pray they're using it for God's purposes. There will be a breakdown. How much for missions? How much for the real estate? How much for salaries? How much? They will break it down. And oftentimes churches will vote. Let me ask you, if they were having one of those next week, not on Sunday though, it's Tuesday night, 7 o'clock. You're kind of tired. Oh man, I had to do homework with the kids. You're going to put on your Sunday best, go to church and find out? Or are you just going to hope for the best? I am not pointing fingers. I've sat out a million of those myself. We sit out these important conversations. These are important conversations. Tonight, actually, as soon as the show is over, there is a school board convention, a forum, in my area, where all the candidates running for school board they're all going to gather. They're all going to answer questions. I'm going. I don't want to go. I reached out to my buddy Luis immediately and I said, hey, will you go with me? And to his credit, he's like, you suck. Yeah, I will. Ob can't go. She did ask me not to embarrass her too much because we do have to live in this town. And I get that. But I'm definitely going to be heard. I promise you that. And he's going. I don't want to go to a freaking school board forum tonight. That doesn't sound like fun. I want to go home and read a book, hang out with my family. These are the things we have to do. It applies to your spiritual life as well. It applies to your synagogue. It applies to your cathedral. It applies to your church. Get involved with the leadership and the finances. Because what happens is these huge church umbrellas, and I'm sure it works the same for Judaism and Catholicism, but these huge church corporations, which is essentially what they are, these umbrellas that are over so many, they get occupied and consumed too by filthy commies. And then that money you turn in, instead of going to God's purposes, go to commie purposes, like flooding your country with barbarians. It's important, but we don't think about that and we don't want to get involved. Because everything, doesn't all this stuff, don't you cringe a little when I talk about this stuff? I do. Because I know I'm talking to me as much as I'm talking to you. I've never acted like I don't go through these same things. It sucks to have all these obligations. And you have so many of these obligations because so many horrible people are trying to attack you in the things you care about. They're trying to attack your church. Speaking of cathedrals, I went to one of my buddies. His son was being baptized for the first time. He's a Catholic. His son was being baptized for the first time. He asked me if I'd go. And of course, I said yes. It was an honor. So I showed up. It was a big deal. Usually they're getting baptized and everything else. And I'm watching the whole thing. And they chose to honor a member. She had been a member, part of leadership, I should say. I don't want to get too specific. In this cathedral for, I think it was 30 years, three decades. And as they were introducing her, they were honoring her three decades of service. They listed all the organizations she was part of and she championed. And it was every disgusting commie group you can possibly find. And she had managed to worm her way and partially guide that cathedral for 30 years because we don't get involved because we don't want to accept that there are horrible people attacking all the institutions we love, and they will succeed in ruining those institutions if we don't dig in and get them out. That's the problem. Now we have to make enemies. We have to get them out, and that's uncomfortable. School board tonight, that school board forum, it's going to be uncomfortable once I get there. I promise you that. All right. Why did the Harris campaign miss Tim Walz's lies? Hang on.
This is an iHeart podcast.